was a Saturday night. It was getting late in the evening. And I was at home with Nicole, and it was a big MMA fight that night. And I was getting ready to go over. My good friend of mine at the time, he got the pay-per-view, and we were going to watch it. So I was about to head over to his house. So right before I'm going to leave, I move in towards my wife, you know, and husband's in the room. You get what I'm talking about. You move in for that final smackaroo before you go, right? And I hope it's a juicy one, okay? So I'm like, so I'm moving in, and all of a sudden the phone rings. So I pick up the phone, all right? And I look at my phone, and it's my mom. And I'm like, oh, it's kind of late. That's weird. So I answer it, and she calls me Billy. She's like, Billy, something terrible has happened. Your father might have been killed this afternoon. And I said, okay, I'll be right over. So I hang up the phone and then, tell my wife what's going on and hop in the car. And I remember driving and setting the cruise control, but still my foot was kind of hitting the gas and I just kept speeding. And I kept having to like think, drive slower. And I felt like forever, but I finally got there. And it was just the weirdest scene, you know. It was like there was police cars. I think there was some in the driveway. There was definitely some parked on the road. We're walking in. My mom's there. She's all tore up crying. And my brothers were there. They're crying. I'm crying. Everybody's just kind of like sad, you know. And I remember sitting on the couch and talking to the Waukesha County medical examiner. And I remember at some point an officer and I, we walked down the driveway to the road. There was a police truck there, so we're walking and not even saying anything. It was just the weirdest things. So we're walking in silence. We just get to the police truck and he opens up the back, and I'm looking in that truck, and I just see like this mangled, like it's a bike, right? Like, oh man. Up until that point, I thought, you know, there's a mix up. There's got to be some mix up. Like, this probably not. And then I saw the bike and I knew. I'm like, oh man, like this is really happening, you know. Earlier that afternoon, my dad, he was a bike rider, a cyclist his whole life, okay, and so he was very aware of safety and laws and all that. So he was riding responsibly. He was riding on the road, and somebody coming the other way, they fell asleep behind the wheel, and they crossed over, and they kind of hit head on, and it was. It was pretty instantaneous, I'm told. I tell you what, I remember other things about that night. I remember receiving phone calls. I got a phone call from Dion. He's the guy in the middle. Here's my father-in-law, and he jumps up, and he's always happy about Jesus. Anyways, he calls me up, and he's like, I'm so sorry. And we cried together on the phone, and I remember Guy calls me, and we're talking, and yeah, you don't really know what to say in those conversations. You just, you know, what can you say? But I'm so thankful that they called the youth group, right? This was a Saturday night. The next night, at the time, we had Sunday night youth group here at the church. And I couldn't be there, so a good friend of mine, he took over, and the leaders in the ministry took over, and they just prayed for 2 or 3 hours for my family and I. And I received emails and phone calls and all of that, and people I didn't even know by name, they're saying, man, we're praying for you guys. We're praying for your mom. We're praying for your brothers, man. I'm like, thank you. You know, the outpouring of Jesus, you know, the love of Christ, man, just coming in at that time was, I tell you, there's never been a time like that yet. And I kind of wish there is not going to be one in the future. But like, man, here's... To sum it up, here's the feelings I was feeling and we were feeling in our family is just a sense of disbelief. And if something's happened, you know, in your life like that, you know what I'm talking about. Just that disbelief, there's this utter sadness, almost like a depression at times. Just you don't even know, it just comes upon you, right? And there was this anger. You know, some of the anger was like, I didn't even know what to be angry at. I'm just angry at the situation, like, where's my dad, right? And I see my mom crying, and she's all sad, and she's angry, and that just makes me more angry, right? And angry at the driver. Okay, like, man, why didn't you just pull over and sleep or something? Like, man. All that to say, God is still good. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. I pray, God, that you would use the past. God, I pray that you would use today for your glory. God, I pray that you might have your word prove to be living and active. God, bring us into your presence today. God, where there is the fullness of joy. God, turn our hearts to you, God, this Father's Day weekend. And above all things, bring glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, it's good to be with you guys. There is joy. There's the fullness of joy in the presence of God, okay? So that's where I'm at, okay? Even in the midst of that sad story, I'm like, there's joy in the presence of God. All right, so that's where I'm hanging out if you want to find me, okay? Let's spend some time together. Let's get in the Word. Luke chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 36, excuse me. If you're looking in your church Bible here, page 1606. And as you're turning there, let's just kind of set the stage real quick, okay? Many people liked Jesus. All right, Jesus was going around. He was feeding people, sometimes thousands at a time. Okay, Jesus is healing people. Blind people are seeing. Lame people are walking. I mean, there's some pretty wacky stuff going on. All right, people who needed help, Jesus is helping them. People who didn't know about God, Jesus is teaching them. Right, people who can't defend themselves, Jesus is coming to their defense. A lot of people like Jesus. At the same time, though, a lot of people hate Jesus. Right? In particular, the religious authorities. So the people in charge. When Jesus shows up, he is truth. All right? He didn't just talk about the truth. He is truth. All right? So when something is in his presence that is not true, there's this friction, this grind. All right? So when the religious authorities, they were all about themselves. All right? They really didn't love God, and Jesus proved that to them. Okay? They're like, man, Jesus shows up. I hate him. Jesus loves God, I love myself, there's a conflict, and they hate him, and they want to kill him, okay? So this is like hate to the nth degree, okay? So a lot of people like Jesus, a lot of people hate Jesus, but then there's some people that love Jesus, and those are the forgiven. All right, let's dive into the text together. Luke 7. Verse 36. We'll start there. We'll read a little bit. I'll read it here. We don't have to read it together. That might get a little messy. Okay. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair. She kissed them and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he turned and he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. Jesus goes on to say, "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. So we'll stop there for a couple minutes. If you're anything like me, here's what happens. We read that, and we get a couple things, right? But there's also a lot of things. They're just zoom, zoom, just flying past our head. We don't pick up on. So here's what I would like to do together. Let's hit the rewind button. Let's go back, and let's just kind of dive into the text a little more, and let's see what's there, all right, so that we can get a better appreciation for really what's happening, okay? Starting verse 36, we'll just kind of talk through it, all right? Verse 36, Simon the Pharisee, he invites Jesus to dinner, okay? Why did Simon invite Jesus to dinner, okay? Here's the surface answer. Everybody there might have answered like this. Well, Simon, he's part of the religious authority. He's a Pharisee, okay? So he's kind of running the show up until when Jesus arrives, all right? He's important. Jesus, an up-and-coming rabbi, a prophet, some people even call him the Messiah, he's very important too. So for two people to have dinner together is very, very common. Okay, that happened, I won't say frequently, but it happened a lot. Very normal. Okay, and here's what would happen at those VIP dinners. Okay, they would talk about theology, very popular in the culture, okay? They'd talk about theology. One person would bounce stuff off another person, like this. Simon, maybe he's going to bounce some things off of Jesus, and maybe Jesus will learn a little bit, right? And then Jesus, he's going to bounce a few things off Simon, and who knows, maybe Simon will even learn a little bit. And there'd be this mutual learning, okay? That's the surface. That's what people were probably seeing and thinking, okay? Let's get a little deeper, though, because here's the truth. Simon, he don't want to learn anything from Jesus. Simon's mind is already made up, right? And here's what Simon is doing. Simon is gathering intel, all right? He's amassing evidence. Simon is building a case against Jesus. Simon wants to kill Jesus, okay? Like if Simon can catch Jesus in the right situation, or if Simon can record, hey, Jesus said this. If he records the right stuff, if Simon plays his cards right and stuff plays out, we might even get to kill him, all right? So here's really what's going on. The truth of the matter is this. Simon hates Jesus. He hates or hated Jesus. So that begs the question. Why did Jesus accept that invitation? Right? And here's what somebody might have said who was there, right? They might have, on the surface, they might have thought this. Well, again, these are two very important people, all right? So Jesus accepted the invitation because, well, that's what happens. People just have dinner together and they talk, all right? Another person might have thought this. Hey, there's been some disagreement between, you know, the religious authorities and Jesus. So maybe they're going to have dinner and they're going to kind of hash things out, you know, like come to some understanding, some mutual ground here. Now, that's not what was happening at all. The truth of the matter, I'll tell you what, let's revisit the text, and we'll answer that question in a minute, okay? All right, verse 37, here's what happens. The woman enters the picture, okay? She hears about this dinner. This is like public knowledge, by the way, okay? Public knowledge. She hears about the dinner. There's people inside the room, around the perimeter of the room. There's people by the windows leaning in, people in the doorways. The door was often open, and people would just kind of look in to see what was happening at this dinner. There's buzz on the streets. There's people there gathered. They're like, hey, what's going on in there? Tell me. All right? So this atmosphere, this buzz is going on, and this woman shows up. This sinful woman shows up, and she gets her way in there, okay? And I argue this. She sneaks her way in there because you know what? This is like a holy huddle type thing. Sinful women, they don't belong there. That's why I'm like, man, she snuck in there. So here she finds Jesus reclining at the table. All right? And it's not a table like you and I see, you know, like we have in our homes maybe, like this, and you sit there. No. Here's what it is. It's a different table. Table's right here. Okay? It's about that high. And when it says Jesus is reclining at the table, here's what it is. He's like this. And Jesus, like all the other guys in the room, his feet are nasty, okay? So you want to get those nasty feet away from the food, all right? That's the idea, all right? Sanitary, okay? So he's reclining. The woman, she sneaks in, right? She sneaks in, and she stands by his feet, right? She's standing right here. And I don't know what her plan was coming in, but she gets to Jesus' feet, and she just can't keep it together. She's there, and she's like, she just starts crying. The word in the text indicates her tears were coming down like rain onto Jesus' feet. Like you ever see someone lose it, the shoulders going there? That's what she was doing. She's like, and just crying, raining down on his feet. And then she goes one step further, right? She stoops down, lets her hair down, a big cultural no-no, all right? She starts wiping his feet and cleaning them off with her hair. And then she's like, what else can I do? She's got this jar, this alabaster jar. Alabaster is gypsum stone, a very soft, soft stone, similar to talcum. And when you polish it, it gets really shiny and nice. And it was really expensive in the day. When you have an expensive jar, you know what you put in it? Expensive oil or perfume or ointment. All right, so she has this, and she's like, what more can I do? Right? She breaks the thing open, and she pours the whole jar of perfume on the feet of Jesus. All right, it's not this type of thing, ladies, like a little here. It's not like that. Okay, the whole jar. At this point, right, everybody's noticing, right? Some people are like hearing, like, man, what is going on? I hear a woman just like weeping over there. All right, some people are seeing it. Like, man, is that a woman over there by his feet in the shadows? What is going on? And then people are smelling it, this aroma, this expensive perfume aroma is filling the room. It's pouring out of the windows, pouring out of the door. People on the street are probably like, what's going on in there? I've never seen anything like this before. What's going on? And then Simon, the owner of the house, he sees it. And he says to himself, wait, who'd he say it to? To himself. It's very important. He says to himself. Maybe he just says it under his breath. Maybe he didn't even say it. Maybe it was just in his mind. But he's like, man, if this guy was a prophet, if this guy was from God, there's no way he would let that woman near him, let alone touch him. There's no way. And then Jesus responds to his thought. Jesus responds to Simon's thought, right? And here's what we read, right? If we're paying attention, here's what we realize that Jesus is a mind reader, okay? And that's a little weird, but we give him a free pass on that because we're like, well, Jesus is God, so if he wants to read someone's mind, he can, right? But I'm telling you, there's a deeper significance here, all right? So come with me just for a minute. Let's check this out, all right? Everybody say Isaiah 11:3 with me. Ready? Isaiah 11:3. Here we go. Isaiah 11:3, an Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah to come, all right? So it was written hundreds of years before this encounter, all right? And what Isaiah 11:3 says, all right, and you can look it up, read it word for word if you want, but I'll paraphrase. Here's what 11:3 says. When the Messiah comes, he's not going to need his eyes to judge a situation. Like you and I, we look at a situation and we make a judgment on it, right? The Messiah is not going to need to do that. The Messiah is not going to need his ears. He's not going to have to listen or hear to make a judgment like you and I do, right? When the Messiah comes, he is going to be truth. He's going to be righteousness in the flesh. So when the Messiah shows up, since he's truth, if something is not truth, he's going to recognize it. He doesn't need his eyes. He doesn't need his ears. None of that. He's just going to feel it. Another way to say that is when the Messiah shows up, he's going to be able to read people's minds. Now, here's the interesting part. Simon was very familiar with the entire Old Testament, especially prophecies about the Messiah, okay? So when Jesus reads the mind of Simon and he responds to Simon's thought, the very claim that Simon is making, man, this guy can't be of God, Jesus refutes that by fulfilling an Old Testament scripture before his very eyes. And no doubt about it, Simon noticed that. He goes on and he talks about the two people with the debts. Now they're forgiven. Let's recap real quick. Here's what's happening. Jesus comes into enemy territory. Jesus shows, right, through the woman and her actions, shows Simon what true worship is. Now, through this fulfillment of prophecy, Isaiah 11:3, Jesus is showing Simon that he's the Christ. So here, let's revisit that question we asked a couple minutes ago. Why did Jesus accept this invitation? Here's the reason. Jesus was offering grace to Simon. The very man that wanted to take his life, Jesus is like, man, I got grace for you too. Let the grace continue. Because here's what's about to happen. Jesus is like, man, I got some more grace. I want to show you the truth now, Simon. All right, so let's pick it up in verse 44. Then Jesus turned towards the woman. All right, so he turns toward the woman, but he's still talking to Simon. Right? And he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. All right, let's pause just for a second. In the Jewish culture, here's what would happen. There's three things that should happen when an invited guest comes into your home. First one is a slave or the lowest ranking person in the house, they would come and wash the feet of that distinguished guest, right? Another thing that would happen, similar to a handshake in our day, a person would come in and you greet them with a kiss. It's a sign of respect, right? And the third thing that would happen is you would anoint the head of the guest with oil, a cheap oil. It wasn't anything special. It was just a sign of respect. Sometimes you put it here. Sometimes you put a lot, and it's dripping down. It seems a little odd to us, but it was just, again, a sign of respect and part of their culture. Okay, to not do any of those three, let alone all of them, would be like a slap in the face or an insult to whoever that guest was. All right, so keep that in mind. Here we go. In the middle of 44, I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love is shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. One verse stood out to me. Let me share that with you. Her many sins are forgiven. All right, look. Her many sins are forgiven as her great love has shown. All right? So her sins were forgiven. Her great love shows that this is true. Okay, I want to ask you a very important question. What happened first? Was the woman forgiven first, or did she show the love first? She was forgiven first. That's what this says. Okay? It's not the other way around. This woman didn't show up and say, I'm going to worship Jesus. I'm going to wash his feet. I'm going to kiss his feet, his nasty, smelly feet. I'm going to kiss them. And then I'm going to pour this perfume all over them because maybe Jesus will forgive me then. That's not what's happening. It's the other way around. She's been forgiven. And then her love demonstrates that and shows that and proves that. Listen, we don't love Jesus so that he'll forgive us. We love Jesus because he's forgiven us already. That's why we love Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says this. We love because he loved us first. That's true. So if we got that mixed up, I tell you what, we got a problem on our hands. And let me tell you something. For 19 years, I thought it was like that. I'm trying to earn God's love. Man, I had that thing 180 degrees backwards. That brings us to our bottom line, though. Here we go. Forgiveness fuels our love for Christ. When he forgives me, that fuels my love for him, right? God loves me, and he forgives me. And in response, by his grace, I love him back. All right, let's get back into the story. All this is happening. And everybody starts looking around. In verse 49, we read this. Everybody's looking around. They're like, man, who is this guy? Right? And some people in the room are probably like this. Man, who is this guy, Jesus? Who is he? Let me tell you something. The woman knows who Jesus is. That's why she's doing all this. That's why she's got this crazy love for Jesus. Because she's been forgiven and she knows who he is. She knows that he's the promised one. She knows that he's the lover of her soul. She knows. She knows that he's the Messiah, the forgiver of her sins. She knows that he is worthy of all praise. That's why in verse 50, when Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you, go in peace," she's like this. She's like, "Yes, I will go in peace. Because I'm not who I was. I'm not that person anymore. Everybody in the room looks at me and they see a sinful woman. But Jesus, you've forgiven me. I'm a new creation in you, Jesus. And I'm not who I was. I'm somebody new. I'm somebody different. Everything's different now. And I'm going to walk in that. So when you tell me, go in peace, I'm going to do that. Because it's different. And by God's grace, my whole eternity is different." And she just walks in it. Most people saw that the woman wasted everything. They were looking at her and her behavior, and they're like, "Man, she is wasting her time. Like, she doesn't even belong here. Like, we got our holy huddle going on right here. We got everybody who's important. And then you show up, you don't belong here." They're like, "Man, you need to get out. You're wasting your time here." They're looking at her, "You're wasting your money. Man, you bring this expensive jar in with this expensive perfume." Right? By the way, where'd she get that money? Yeah, we know where she got the money. Everybody knew it. They're like, "Man, I can't believe you would dishonor our presence spending this money on things like that. You're wasting your money." Her pride. They're like, "Man, you are wasting your pride. Where's your self-worth? Where's your pride? Man, you come in here, you're crying on someone's feet. You're wiping them with your hair. You let your hair down. That's disgraceful. And now you're kissing his feet? I mean, that's nasty stuff." No pride. She's like, "I don't care. I'm throwing it out." They're like, "Man, you're wasting it." Her reputation. She's wasting her reputation. Everybody's looking at her like, "Man, you had about this much worth. And the only thing you could have done to make that worth less was to start associating yourself with Jesus." And what does she do? She associates herself with Jesus. All the more, she's worshiping Jesus. Really, what they're saying is, "You're wasting your love on this guy. Jesus is a loser. He's a nobody. We're going to kill him. You just wait. We're going to get him. And you're just wasting all this affection and adoration and all of this love that you got, just wasting it on this guy." That's what everybody's thinking. This woman's wasting everything. But however, Jesus sees a different picture. Jesus is like, "This woman is wasting nothing." Because Jesus understands that he is worthy of all praise. And don't get it mixed up. He's not walking around in arrogance, okay? He knows the truth, and he knows it in full humility. He's the only guy that ever walked the planet Earth that was deserving and worthy of all praise and worship. He's the only guy. And this woman understood that, right? That's why she does all this. He's like, "It's appropriate worship." Think about this for a second. What more did the woman have to give Jesus? I would argue nothing. In those few moments that we get from Scripture, she gave everything to Jesus. And when we give everything, you know what happens? We start to look like Jesus. Because Jesus gave everything. One of the reasons Jesus gave everything was so that you and I could be forgiven. Church, Jesus has forgiven us of so much. And we ought to love him. Let the desire of our hearts be that we would give him everything. Let us say together, "Everything we have is yours, Jesus. Everything I have is yours, Jesus. You just take it all. you're going to see some little arrows on your notes, okay? So I would ask you this. What do you have to give Jesus? All right, I'm going to share with you my list, all right? If some of that resonates with you, you just write it down. Maybe you got your own list. And listen, you don't have to write. If you're not a writer, I don't care. That's fine. But just think about it, okay? Think about it. What would be on your list? Here we go. My list. Time. I'm giving my time to Jesus. Perfect example. It's Father's Day weekend. If my dad was still around, you know what I would do? I would do one of three things. All right, I would go hang out with him, or I would call him, I'd tell him I love you, all right, happy Father's Day, Dad, that sort of thing. If I couldn't get in touch with him that way, or for whatever reason that wasn't, you know, going to happen, I'd write him a letter or an email maybe or something like that, just something reaching out to him. My dad's not around, so here's what I'm going to do today. My kids and I, we're going to go to the zoo or something like that, all right? We're going to spend some money that it's going to hurt going out of my pocket, but I'm like, man, I'm just giving my time, all right? Another thing is I'm giving that money, okay? Every penny that God gives to me, my attitude is, it's yours, Jesus. Tell me what to do with it. So maybe some of that money he wants me to throw at the church, okay? I'm going to give some money to church. Maybe that Field of Dreams thing, throw some money at that, okay? Okay, God, whatever you tell me, I'm going to seek you in this, right? You want me to buy my kids ice cream if they don't deserve it? Okay, I'll do that too. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. I'll even give the other half to the government, okay? Whatever you want me to do, all right? I'm going to do it, Lord, because this money, I'm going to give it to you, okay? My popularity, all right, my reputation, my pride, all of that, lump it together. I'm putting that on the line for Jesus. I just don't care anymore what people think about me, all right? I'm giving it to him. People want to think I'm crazy for following Jesus because I don't talk a certain way, I don't say certain words, I don't watch certain movies, I don't listen to certain type of music. I pray before I eat a meal maybe. You know, if they want to look at me and judge me, that's fine. I'm going to love on them, but listen. I'm giving that to Jesus, all right? Now, I don't want to lose you here, okay? So stay with me. Stay with me. I'm still on the list. I think about my dad all the time, almost every day. I went for a bike ride yesterday morning with a good friend of mine, and I was thinking about my dad the whole time. My friend didn't know it, but I was. The sting of his death, the pain of his absence, it's still there. That anger that I felt before, that still rises up sometimes. And there's real anger issues in my family. But here's what I'm putting on my list. I'm putting my pain and my anger, I'm giving that to Jesus too. In the same way that Jesus has forgiven me, by God's grace, I'm forgiving the driver of that vehicle. And I mean this, I'm going to say it again. It's by God's grace. Please don't look at me and think I'm bragging or something. This, I'm telling you, it's not like that at all. It's by God's grace. This grace is coming in, and the grace is flowing out. And it's all because of him. His forgiveness is fueling my love for him and for others. So maybe forgiveness belongs on your list too. Is there somebody you need to forgive or find reconciliation with? I don't know. As a church, though, let's wake up. I mean, if Jesus is real, if he really came a couple thousand years ago and he really lived and he really died, and 3 days later he really rose from the grave and defeated sin, the grave, and death, if that's real, right? If Jesus is coming back one day, then man, shouldn't our lives reflect that? Shouldn't this godly faith that's been given to us lead to godly action? There are people in the room right now. You've believed in God your whole life. And this was me a few short years ago. I believed in God my whole life, but I never trusted in him. I believed in God my whole life, but I never received his forgiveness. If you're that person, today is the day of salvation. Turn to him. Even if you don't know what to say, say, God, I want to receive your forgiveness. I want to follow you. Thank you. And I tell you what, you could even screw up those words. Remember, he can read your mind too, all right? So it don't matter what's coming out of your mouth. He knows, all right? He wants to receive you. If that's you today and you're making that decision, I would ask three things of you. And I'm not trying to twist your arm. You don't have to do any of these three, okay? I'm just saying I would ask that you would do this, all right? The first thing is come up after service, come up and get a begin packet, all right? It's like this little book, all right? And what that's going to do is it tells us, as new believers, it tells us what this Christian thing is. Okay, what does it mean to be a Christian? How do I be a Christian? Like, what are the X's and O's of it? All right, another thing is, there's a communication card, and there's a spot on there that says, I have decided to receive Jesus. Go ahead and mark that. And then on your way out, just throw it in the basket. And we're going to pray for you here at the church. I mean, salvation and people coming to Christ, that's a big deal around here. It's a big deal in heaven, too. All of heaven rejoices when somebody turns to God. We want to get in on that. Okay, so go ahead and turn that card in. And the third thing is, if you're willing, okay, after service, come down. I want to pray with you. I mean, let's pray together. Let's encourage each other in the faith. Let's build one another up and edify each other. Let's do it today, right now, in a few minutes, okay? Let's close it out. Holy Spirit, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for the forgiveness that we've received through you, Jesus. By your power, Lord, help us to respond in love. On this day, be glorified, Lord Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.